the chambers be free. Holy Spirit, speak through me.
Speak through me gently.
As I close the door.
As I close the door.
Heavenly Lover.
Heavenly Lover.
Let thy presence cover.
Let thy presence cover.
Shekinah unending.
Shekinah unending. Is all I love.
Shekinah unending.
Shekinah. Is all I love for.
Shekinah unending.
Shekinah unending. Is all I love for.
Father, we worship and honor you. It's such an honor. It's such a joy. To know you. To live in your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. You've given to us your word that you're revealing to us, transforming us daily into your image. We honor and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm not going to give a message. I have a message, but I'm going to put it off till next week. What I'm just going to do in 5 minutes is just to speak about these songs we have just sung. You see, many times we sing and the reality of what we sing doesn't dawn on our hearts. And in particular, the two songs that we've sung today, As We Worship You by Don Nguyen and this one by David Ingalls, the lyrics of these songs are so powerful. And I want us to just go home thinking about their reality. And the first song says, As We Worship You, let all the world come and see how the mercy we receive from you can also, the also is not there, but I'm putting it, can also set them free. In other words, it has set us free, and it can also set them free. A life of worship is worth 1,000 sermons. Worship isn't just singing. It is singing. But it goes far beyond singing. It's a life. When they see the mercy of God in your life, it will give them a hope. And you draw them to God. If more Christians would live a life of consecration, a life of true worship, according to Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. With that, the Greek word is the word metamorpho, from which we get the English word metamorphosis. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, it means prove experientially. In other words, demonstrate, prove, let your life prove it. And people will see in your life the good, the acceptable, and ultimately the perfect will of God. Who doesn't like a good thing? Who doesn't like a good thing? And all the things we've been preaching and teaching about in these last many months, about the glory of God, the manifestation of the sons of God, is to this end. I am fully convinced, like the Apostle Paul said, and many of the other New Testament writers, I, as a person, having studied these things for many years and walked in them to, by the grace of God, some appreciable degree, I am fully convinced that if the church should truly worship God and manifest the glory of God, we won't need to preach. We will not be able to keep people out of the church. People will be rushing to church. They want to know our God. God is very attractive. Who doesn't want an instant, incredible photographic memory? Who want that? Who want that? Who want a life of consecration, of self-control, control of the mind, control of the emotions, control of the body, of love and righteousness, and yet great power, with humility, with great prosperity? Is very attractive. Hence the scripture says that in the end time, when this happens, it says the mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted above all the hills, and all nations will flow into it. It will not be us, it will be them. And they will say one to another, let us go. It will not be the church telling them. It will be they themselves telling each other. Say, let us go to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. And they won't come for miracles. They will get miracles will be common. They will come for the word. For he will teach us his ways. He will show us. They will get miracles. But that's not the reason why they will come. They will be coming to find out the ways of God. And that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us. The church is full of a lot of activities, so-called, we're talking to somebody recently, you know, so-called evangelism, so-called discipleship. It's not producing results. It's not attractive. I was sharing with that person, my wife and I, sharing with somebody, say, what is discipleship? It's living a life that others can copy the example. You don't have to know someone to be discipled. But if you follow, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul is not alive today, but he's discipling us. E.W. Kenyon is not alive today, he's discipling us. A.W. Tozer is not alive today, he's discipling us. Derek Prince is not alive today, he's discipling us. I'm a product, by the mercy and the grace of God, of many of the lives of those men. All I did was copy the example of what they wrote. Have to know them physically. That is true discipleship. I can say this to the glory of God. In our ministry here, I can think of about 3-4 people. There are more, but you know, who never came to Scripture Pasture. They didn't have the opportunity because they were not living in Ibadan. We're living outside. I think they came for 1 or 2 meetings, maybe conventions. All they have known is what they've learned from the word, from the internet, from the books, and follow. And some of them have grown and they are more faithful than people who come physically. So I know from experience. And now they themselves are making disciples. They're discipling other people, even discipling their own pastors. So I can tell from experience, this thing is a lifestyle. When we worship God, that's why that song is so powerful. As we worship you. The second song, talking about the Shekinah glory of God. Say, into the chambers. He's talking about praying in the Spirit. Say, let thy presence cover. What are you looking for? What are you longing for? Say, Shekinah on ending. You know what that means? Permanent presence of God. Permanent, the permanent glory of God. Shekinah on ending. The Shekinah glory of God was only found in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. The tabernacle of Moses and later on the Temple of Solomon had 3 compartments. The outer court, where there was a lot of activity, killing of animals and all of that. Then you had the holy place where you had the candlestick, the shewbread, the table of shewbread, and the altar of incense. And then in the innermost chamber was where the Ark of the Covenant was, where Pastor Andrew showed us the other time when he was ministering on this, you know. And the light there was the light of God. It was like a floodlight. It was not like the candlestick that was inside the holy place. That's what David Ingalls was writing about. Shekinah unending. These are concepts and truths that down through the centuries and the years, the church has longed for. They've written about, but we haven't yet seen a generation that will walk in it in its fullness and manifest it. We are that generation. We are very privileged. We have the knowledge of all generations put together. Generations before us had scattered knowledge. They knew this, they knew that, things were not clear, you know, to them. The early generation didn't have the full scripture. By the time the full scripture came, most of the early fathers had died. The Holy Ghost was still in the church, but most people didn't even know the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues had almost died out. The Dark Ages, when the Reformation came, there was no tongues. So they couldn't really, they had the letter, but they could not dig deep into the spirit of the word. It took years, century after century. Thank God for the Wesley brothers, John and Charles Wesley, who had a breakthrough to some degree. Then later on, the Anabaptists, you know, that started the Baptist church and all of that. And then D.L. Moody, and then finally the Pentecostal movement at the 20th century. And even then, there was still a lot of confusion. But here we are, at the close of the ages. And God has laid everything at our feet. Complete Bible, the Holy Spirit, revelation knowledge. We can look back and learn from the mistakes of the generations that have gone past. We have no excuse, brethren. It is our day, it is our time. Let's worship God with all of our hearts, with our lives. Don't let it just be talk. Like Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far. You can sing, you can talk, but where is your heart? That's what brings the result. Into the chambers, come Holy Spirit. Do you really practice that? Is it? Close the door. Then you get into deep intercession. He says, as I go, the wine press falls heavy. I mean, that's where you come into, you know, you have to apply effort and strength and energy. And when you do that, the wine, fresh revelation, begins to come. That's you pressing toward the mark. To be a part of that beautiful lady and bride, part of that breaker man-child company. What are you living for? Let your life affect people without talking. If you have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, the Bible tells us, it's the highest level of evangelism. It says you will win them without talking. And I personally experienced this in a little measure. I thank God for how he had mercy on me. I'm not boasting. I don't boast. By the grace of God, I've seen through all of that. I'm talking sincerely. I speak like Paul said, words of soberness and truth. God just had mercy on me. I was talking there about myself, my wife, and Pastor G. Many of us, you know, but our own generation, just the mercy of God. I recognize not only me, God had mercy on me, had mercy on so many of us. I can never forget. My coming to UI was a miracle. When I look back now, I see it was the hand of God. I would have gone to University of Ife. I was taking University of Ife for chemical engineering. The letter never came. And I did, and I wanted to come to UI too, because UI is a very good university, best actually, you know. But, you know, My form, I was to the day, the closing date, 1973. The form, the day was closing. My dad called my uncle, my late uncle Femi here. I went to Femi Johnson and Company. They had an office in Lagos. It was my uncle's driver that drove me at breakneck speed to Ibadan. I got to Trenchard Hall and submitted the form 4:05, just before they closed. I can never forget. The day I came to University of Ibadan, one of the first people I met was my friend who God used to lead me to Christ. At the time, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he was a Christian. I didn't even know what being born again was. I knew, but you know. It just so happened. My hap. Our matric numbers almost followed each other. And when we're doing the registration and all of that, you know, our chemistry lab, I was here. He was there. Yinka Migbodun was here. Ayoyuleye was here. When I look back now, I now saw that everything was arranged. Mercy. No preaching, not much talking. Just looking at your life. Just looking at your life. Say, this is good. This is nice. It's my friend who told me those days of kung fu fighting and Bruce Lee and everything. When I was doing all of that, I was very into it, you know, karate and all of that. Just told me, just very quietly. He said, Olubi, don't do that thing, it's demonic. I didn't know what demonic was. I just listened. It was just God. So he just told me, listen, when they don't get into all of that. I would have been entering the dragon. It's the truth. A life. Just live the life. I didn't get born again immediately. But when I did get born again, I got born again. There's something about the right seed. It wasn't this superficial thing that a lot of people were doing, you know. When finally, because I had something I was looking at. I look back. Let your life speak. Let your life speak to people. Be prayerful. Be holy. Be kind. Be generous. I got to close with this thought. It came to me this morning. I preached it before, but the angle in which I want to bring it is probably unique. Well, not unique, but let me use the word fresh. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I'm using it to speak to you and I about the way we live, and especially the way we relate to unbelievers. A lot of our evangelism and our preaching is not working. Because many unbelievers are sharp, you know. They're not stupid. They're intelligent people. I was. They can see through hypocrisy. Quick. They can see through insincerity. They can see through a person who's a con man. When they see the genuine, they're attracted by it. Jesus is with the woman at the well. He's sitting down on the well. It's about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. In the desert, in the Middle East, it's very hot. Those of you who've been to Dubai and Israel, you'll be able to appreciate what I'm talking about. He was weary. They were walking. He was tired. So he sat on what's called Jacob's well. His disciples went to the town to go and try and buy some things and bring some food and water. A funny woman just comes. Immediately.
immediately she comes, the Holy Ghost starts to minister to Jesus. The woman is not aware of it. Look at the approach. I want all of us to learn this thing as I close. It's wonderful. If we can live like this, there is nobody, God, the Holy Spirit, will not be able to touch through our lives. This is a terrible woman. By all social standards. But look at Jesus' approach. Give me water to drink. He knows where he's going. No? But look at the wisdom. The woman said, I'm a Jew, Samaritan. He went across ethnic and class. Jesus ignored all that. He said, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking water of me? Who is a woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus just, he didn't get into a theological argument. You know, if it was us, we would start talking about. Jesus went, he said, if you knew who it was that's asking you for water, you would ask of me and I will give you the water of everlasting life. She said, wow. He said, are you greater than Jacob and our father who did this and do that? You know, you have no something to draw water from the well. There's a spirit I'm trying to get across to us. Just was looking. How then will you be able to get water? Then just ask her a leading question. Go and call your husband. He knows where he's going. As the woman appeared, the Holy Ghost had already revealed to Jesus the kind of woman she was. But he didn't approach it like we would. He did not approach her with the spirit of judgment and condemnation. He came with the spirit of reconciliation. How would we live? The woman, he said, go and call your husband. He knows where he's going. The woman tells a half truth. She said, I have no husband. It was true, but it was not the whole truth. And it was not nothing but the truth. What she meant to say, or should have said, is that I have no husband presently, and I am living in adultery. That was the whole truth. But she didn't say that. She just said, I have no husband. You know what? Even though Jesus knew the whole truth, he didn't beat her on the head with it. Even though Jesus knew she wasn't telling the whole truth. His approach was not. The Bible says all sinners, all liars will go to the lake of fire. And all adulteresses and... You know, all those scriptures are true. But application, wrong spirit. True, but wrong spirit application. Jesus knew all those scriptures. He knows what happens to adulterers. He knows what happens to liars. But he really major on that. You know what he said? He said, you have had 5 husbands. And the person you are with now is not your husband. So even in that little, you have told the truth. He took the little positive, that the very little positive that he could get out of what the woman said, and he majored on that. He ignored the other negative things because he was out to save her soul. He was not how to condemn her. That's the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of Christ. He said, in that you said truly, you've had 5 husbands. The woman said, I perceive you must be a prophet. She said, but we know that when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. This is one of the few times Jesus said who he was. Normally, he doesn't tell people who he was. He would just say, I'm the Son of Man or prophet. He said, I that speaketh unto thee, I am he. It finished her completely. Because
Because she knew it was true, but his approach, he didn't condemn her. She just left the water pot and went to see and said, come see a man who told me everything. When we handle wisdom like that, when we handle power like that, even the worst people will come to the church. A woman who has had 5 husbands is a terrible woman. I'm talking in the natural. Not 1, not 2, not even 3. Onilowo Dimeru. It's the truth. It's the truth. 5! She must have been a very argumentative, very troublesome, if it's 1 or 2, you say maybe the man too had a problem, but 5 is God's number of grace. That just came out. But Jesus got her. You know why? Wisdom, love, kindness. She became an evangelist. I know we'll see her in heaven. She'll come to you and say, I'm the woman at the well. Let your life attract people. There are women at the well that God will bring into your life. He will show you their problems. Don't beat them on the head with it. Use it, leverage it to save them. That's what it means to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we worship Jesus the way we should, we will draw men unto Him. He says, and I, if I be lifted up. What is He lifted up? He's not talking about carrying Him like that. No. You lift Him up by your life. You lift Him up by your love. You lift Him up by your kindness. You lift Him up by your wisdom. You lift Him up by the way you talk, the way you live, your soberness. When people see, say, when I be lifted up from the earth, He said, I will draw all men unto me. Let us pray. As we worship You, let all the world come and see the mercy we receive from You can set them free. As we worship You, let all this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who stray so far. As we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show Your majesty and glory, let Your anointing fall. As we declare Your name, Lord Jesus, the only name who saves. May the power of Your salvation fill it heart, we pray. As we worship You, let all the nations, hear our song, the song of Jesus and His blood, His love for all. As we worship You, may all the lost and broken come. May they hear Your still small voice call out their names, each one. Salvation.
hand on your heart. This is true worship, folks. Say, Lord, I will worship you with everything. Not just with songs and words. My words, my heart will not be far from my words. That's what God wants us to do this afternoon. Just consecrate to a life of true worship so that you can be a channel of blessing. Let they will see the mercy of God in your life. It will be attractive. It's an aroma. Even without talking, the thing it just effulges. It comes out. It seeps out of you, and you become attractive. Everybody wants to know your God. The woman was totally disarmed by the way Jesus dealt with her. She never thought anybody would deal with her with that kind of love and mercy, knowing the kind of person she was. Raise that hand. Touch it and say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. O Lord, I repent of every hypocrisy and hard-heartedness I may have had in my relationships towards men and weaker brethren. O God, help me imbibe and demonstrate and show the true spirit of Christ, the spirit of love, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of excellence, the spirit of power to the people around me, so that Jesus will be lifted up through me and in me and draw all men unto him in Jesus' name. Nikalama Sholo Berika Nikitolo Mashtufrenengika Zufrika Tulomashtufridis Zufridikarama Tulomashalenga Tulomampur Tulobashake Tufridis Tulomanga Tolomotolom Tulomasha Sufri Tufri Nungara Katalamasha Tulomotufri Dufrishi Lombagomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomotulomot In Jesus' name.